morning. Thank you for being here this morning. If you'll take your Bibles, open up to the book of James. We're going to read a few pages there in a moment, or a few verses there. James chapter 1. How many of you here this morning? I'm sure there's quite a few that are old enough to remember the TV show, The Dating Game. It aired from 1965 to 1973, then went into syndication in 73 through 74, and then they came out with the new Dating Game around 1986, and it ran to 1989, and then again it come back out in 1996 to 1991. Now, if you remember that TV program, The Dating Game, you'll remember that the bachelorette would ask three bachelors questions. And based on their answers and how they answered, she would pick one to date. You know, it's kind of like the dating apps that we have today. Either on the computer, your phone, your tablet, you pull up a dating app and you look at the pictures and you read the bio, and through that you perhaps make the decision that it might be a good match, so you make contact and maybe speak a little while back and forth on the internet, and then maybe meet for coffee or go on a date. But you know what? Many seem to choose the church they attend in much the same way. Depending on the answers to their questions, depending on the programs that the church may offer, perhaps depending on what type of classes they have, they decide where they would like to worship. They choose a church that best suits their personal needs and not so much their spiritual needs. It makes no difference to them what's being taught as long as their personal needs and wants are met. In a book entitled Stop Dating the Church and Fall in Love with the Family of God by Joshua Harris. Now, in this book, he entertained the question of whether there are people who date the church. In other words, he asked the question, are there people who like Christ and his church, but yet they are unwilling to totally commit to the church and even to the Lord? You know, I've said this before, but these are the type of people who claim, you know, I love Jesus, but not so much the church. This morning I want us to take a look at how we can identify a church dater. If you have your Bibles, open up to James chapter 1. I want to start reading in verse 21. James chapter 1, starting in verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, He is like unto the man beholding his natural face in the glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. So how do we identify these church daters? First of all, they are those that are me-centered. It's all about me, my wants, and my desires. They go to church for programs. They go to church for perhaps the activities. They really don't go to church for worship or for God-centering preaching. The driving question for them is what can the church do for me and my family? What can they do for me? They fail to ask the question, or they fail to understand that it's not all about them. They seldom, if ever, ask, what can I do for the church? I'll be straight honest with you. I've had people tell me the reason they don't come to Bible class is because they don't get anything out of it. Let me ask you this. What do you put in it? When the Bible class is over, do you mark where the teacher left off, and then during the week you study? You read verses ahead and you study those verses. You study what was said in class. But yet, you don't get nothing out of it because you put no effort into it. Many people don't come to worship a lot of times because they don't understand what the preacher's talking about, or they don't get along with some of the members that might be attending, and they don't want to be in a situation where there might be an argument break out. So I'll just wait until I know they're not going to be there, then I'll show up. Seldom do they ever ask, what can I do for the church? It's all about soothing my worldly lifestyle. Don't cause me to feel guilty. Don't tell me that I'm in fear of possibly going to hell because of sinfulness. Many times the church dater are those that are very independent. You know the type. These are the type of people they attend, but they are very careful not to get too involved. You know, I don't really like, you know, what they're wanting to do at a certain program or a certain class that they may have during the week other than on Sunday morning and Wednesday evening. You know, I don't really agree with it. I don't want to get involved, because then if I get involved, then that means that they're going to expect something out of me. You know, many people don't come to class because they're afraid that they're going to be asked a question. You know, we don't want to get too involved. They don't want to get too tied down. You know, they don't want people relying on them. They don't want people, you know, looking to them in any shape, any way. They don't want to be tied down, and they will not commit to anything. They don't want others depending upon them. They want no ties, no responsibilities. Who, me, volunteer? You got to be kidding. We made a commitment when we become children of God, when we obeyed the gospel, when we had our sins washed away, we made a commitment. If we're simply a dater, we don't make commitments, do we? They don't want to take on any responsibilities. They don't want to become tied down to this or that. No, I really don't want to be a teacher because that means I'm going to be responsible. I don't want to do that. I'm not going to volunteer. And they're often very critical. They are short on allegiances, but they're quick to find fault. It's a sad situation when brothers and sisters are so critical of one another that perhaps we drive that brother or sister away, or we see no good in what they have accomplished. We don't see any good in the things that they do. You know, don't ask me to do it, but yet I'm going to tell you how it should be done. You ever known anybody like that? They don't want to do it themselves, but boy, they sure will be able to tell you how to do it, regardless. Many people simply make the decision, you know, that the preaching isn't very good. The singing could use improvement. People are not very friendly. The Bible teacher goes too long. I don't understand what he's talking about or what she's talking about. But, you know, I don't want to get involved, so I'm not going to ask questions. I'm not going to, you know, confront the teacher and get some clarification. I'll just not come. So how do we stop? How do we stop dating the church? How do we make the commitment to be faithful? God has something better in mind for each of us. God has something better in mind than for us to just simply date the church, you know, not really committing ourselves to being there when the doors are open. But, you know, God's got something better for us. We need to realize the church is the eternal wisdom and purpose of God. Well, let's see here. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Did you notice here? Notice what Paul says here to the Ephesian Christians. He's put all things under Christ's feet, and he gave him to be head over all things to the church. Do you think that it would be advantageous for us to commit ourselves to the church who Christ is the head of? We need to realize that the church is the eternal wisdom and purpose of God. It's not something that just come about because he wasn't able to set up an earthly kingdom. This is the kingdom of God. Jesus says that he's going to build his church, and this is it. Should we not commit ourselves to that church? Or are we too willing to find fault? Are we too willing to blame others for our non-attendance? Again, we need to realize that the relationship that Jesus has with his church is spoken in terms of a marriage. Look at Ephesians chapter 5 that Brother Mike read a few moments ago. Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 22, Paul writes, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." Now, I don't know about most of you here, but what I understand about marriage is that it is a commitment to the spouse. And Jesus here talks about the church, and he equates the church with husbands and wives. He's talking about the commitment that we need to make, not only to husbands and wives, but also to the church. In a marriage, you stop dating others. Am I right? How many marriages would stay intact if one or the other started dating someone else? More than likely, the marriage would be dissolved because of unfaithfulness. Our commitment to God, our commitment to Christ, our commitment to his church is just like the commitment that a husband and wife makes when they say their vows. When we're baptized, when we have our sins washed away, we are asked the question, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the living Son of God? And upon that confession, we're baptized and have our sins washed away, and we come up and we're new creatures. We've made a new commitment. We're not going to go out and date a church. We need to realize that the church's place in the scheme of redemption. Don't we? Whoops, wrong button. Well, let's see here. My clicker stopped working on me, so Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 through 23. He put all things under his feet, okay, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 through 10 again. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That means we make commitments. That may even actually mean we volunteer. Because we've been created unto good works. If we're not willing to make the full commitment, then, brothers and sisters, you might as well not even be here. That's not me. It's not me. That's the teaching in the Bible. John writes in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, the latter part of it, be faithful until death. That doesn't mean being faithful only on Sunday morning from 10:30 to 11:30. That's making the commitment to be faithful every day of our lives. But you know, for some, the thought of commitment really stirs up very unpleasant feelings and maybe even bad memories. But instead of allowing the faults of not only ourselves but of others keep us at arm's length or arm's distance, let's see them as opportunities to serve and to be like Christ. Our own imperfections, because of our own imperfections, we do not have the right to disown the church because we are just as guilty as everybody else. There's not a person in here that can stand straight up and say, I've never sinned. If you can, then we need to speak. We need to talk. Now, granted, as Christians, we try to not sin, but we do stumble and we do fall. We can pray and ask for forgiveness. But because of our own imperfections, we don't have the right to disown the church. Total commitment to the church will help us, and it will help us to understand that it's really not tying us down, but rather it gives us an anchor. An anchor to hold us steady against the storms of life. Are we dating, or have we made a commitment? You have to decide. If it's a commitment that you've made and are willing to honor, or that you're simply a dater and you won't be satisfied because it's all about you. The invitation is given. This morning, if you're here and not a child of God, you have the opportunity.